Howdy, everybody. Bob Tallman for No Spin Rodeo. No politics, no BS, just hard-hitting news and rodeo commentary from two of the most trusted sources in our sport. Kendra Santos, Tommy Joe Lucia. Listen up. Here we go.
Meow, 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 meow. That's my music. Hello, this is Tommy Joe Lucia. Welcome to a very, all of you cowboys and cowgirls that are listening to this probably feel committees, everybody in rodeo this month probably feels exactly like Kendra and I feel right now recording this show. And that is, what the hell is going on? But welcome. This is episode 66. It's No Spin Rodeo. We don't have Greg Teagarden because he's somewhere in Colorado without internet service. But we, Kendra just said, we've got to do this. We got fans out there. We got to do this. So we're doing it. Episode 66. I don't have any idea what we're doing, but Kendra does. Welcome, No Spinners. Welcome to July in Rodeo. Hello, Kendra.
By the way, sir, I would never say we have fans out there because that sounds so arrogant.
We have fans.
We have people who enjoy talking about rodeo as much as we do and are interested as much as we are. And so, but I don't, that fan seems a little.
I don't think they're necessarily fans of me. They may not even be fans of you, but I do think there are some fans out there that like No Spin. They've come and told me that they like No Spin and the commentary we do.
I think it's great. I think I really enjoy visiting about rodeo, which we're into 24/7, 365, it seems. It's all good.
Crazy time.
Wild, but so should we just shoot around here? Because we're both here, there, and all over the place.
Let's play pig. Have you ever played pig?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to do verbal pig. Your shot.
golly.
Little jumper from the corner.
So I feel like it's hard to be an American right now and not be kind of shredded and consumed by the catastrophic flooding in the Texas Hill Country. Rodeo, yes, but just when these things happen, our whole country, I don't know about you, but I look at the faces of those little children and I'm like, that could be any of our families. And so at this time, today is Tuesday, July 8th, and over 100 people did not survive, and there are still so many missing. The search, I don't know if they have shifted. I think they're still calling it rescue as opposed to recovery. I'm not sure when they might make that change. There's this shred of hope, but when you see the wreckage that happened, it's just, can you imagine having a loved one missing? And so let's get personal to our rodeo family and Jeff and Amber and Shiloh Wilson, rodeo family. The dad was a bronc rider, the little boy Shiloh, they call him Stingray, 12 years old, has been very successful as a young bronc rider. And you look at their rig, a white Ram truck with a Capri camper on it. And what do? They wheel into the campground, beautiful, to spend a few days on the banks of the Guadalupe River while in town in Kerrville for a youth rodeo, right? And then at 4 o'clock in the morning, I have been in touch with family and friends of theirs. And now Jeff, the dad, who's a high school teacher and is an alum from Sam Houston State, very popular cowboy and, educator, wonderful man, father and husband, and he's been found. He did not survive. And but they haven't found his wife and son yet. But I'm told it's like they found the truck here. They found the camper elsewhere. They found 13 miles downriver. They found some of Shiloh's rodeo gear. This is impossible. And there are families. How many families? Like the people who are attempting to, you know, orchestrate this mission to. They're like, we don't even know how many people are missing, because, for example, maybe there's a cabin at the river. Were they having a party that night and there were 30 people there, or was there one person there, or there nobody there that night, you know? And so they don't even know how many people they're looking for. And how far down do you go? You know, it just, it's, I don't know. It's beyond, you know, people talk about being heartbroken or the pain. We don't even possibly, we can't know. Can you imagine?
No, I can't imagine. If you're human, it weighs very, very heavy on your heart. And I've been praying for the families, and it's just so unexplainable. Like, I saw a picture of a truck. And so you think of the floodwaters, right? And the waters. Well, I've never been in a flash flood. Have you?
No.
Yeah. And so, you know, I was like, well, if the water's coming up, you know, you just go up, right? But it happens in the middle of the night and in like 20 minutes. And the current, and what got me, one of the things that was startling was there was this truck, right? And that was flooded down the river that they were pulling out. But when they pulled it out, it was a crew cab. The entire cab was completely full of dirt and mud. I mean, so anybody that survives, like the little baby girl that was in the top of a tree, any survivor has beat all odds to survive in these floods. And again, it doesn't touch you till it touches you, right? You don't think about it till you see it. But and then these rotten, rotten people that start to criticize the camps and stuff. I mean, come on.
I mean, I did see where I think she was a pediatrician, was fired for making political comments. How dare anyone contemplate a political crack at a time like this?
Yep.
I mean, it's like when we lose a cowboy and somebody's like, well, that's what they get for, you know, playing that game or whatever it is. Really? Yep. I mean, really. And so there was something that that I got word of today that we did, you know, the Team Roping Journal put something up, and CJ Aragon, who's a college rodeo coach, put something up that the rescue crews requested ropes to use in cleaning all this debris. So Texas Team Ropers, today we were like calling all Texas Team Ropers. Most team ropers have a lot, you know, piles of old ropes, you know, laying around.
Yeah.
And so if you're anywhere in the area, they can be dropped off ASAP to Brewster County Sheriff's Office or Big Bend Saddlery in Alpine, Texas, and they will be delivered to the people who need them. Another thing that is, you know, most people's hearts are beautiful, and those exhausted, you know, workers and volunteers that are there, and so many of the families are there searching desperately themselves. Every once in a blue moon, I mean, people also need to be careful. Everyone wants to do their part, but we need to be careful to vet where we send donations, because as usual, there are a few rotten apples, and, you know, trying to divert money, it's just beyond my comprehension that anybody would do that, but people do, you know, things. And but the army of Americans who are helping here is something to be very proud of. But to say, oh, you know, we're praying for these people, we are. And it feels helpless that there's anything else we can do. And sometimes it's like, what do you pray for? Do you pray for, you know, just the best case scenario now for some of these poor people is to have a body to bury. It's too much. So anyway, before we turn the tide on happier news, because there are a lot of good things going on in rodeo right now, but I did learn of also July 4th, the passing of Spud Jones. So he's the first Navajo cowboy to qualify for the NFR in the bull riding. You know, there are the Derek Begay, Eric Rogers, Aaron Sinigini, you know, Danielle Lohman, these Cassidy Dennison. But Spud was the first, and 2008 is when he qualified, and that was the 50th annual. It was a special year, and he did some good there, but he just passed in his sleep at 36 years old. And so imagining his parents and his sisters, and again, it's like, I only can think to pray for peace in their hearts. They did say he's been having some health issues, but they certainly did not expect to find him that he never woke up. So love to those people. I mean, obviously he's one of those heroes on the Navajo Nation, and rodeo, as they say, rodeo is either second or equal, a very close second, if not equal, to basketball on the reservation. And so, you know, he inspired countless young Native children. So
I think the one thing, well, like, there were flags at half mast here in Utah. I think the world, the country, like you said, I'm stuttering around because there's not anything you can really say or do. I don't know what you pray for, but God's peace somehow, and these people get through it. But what we can do is let that put a little perspective in our lives. It can put a little perspective in your life when I come on here and say everything. Hold on, you know.
For sure.
Hold on. While things might not be great, they could be a whole hell of a lot worse. So
absolutely true. So okay, well, so also we're always all over the spectrum. The 33rd annual IFYR, which is the International Finals Youth Rodeo, that's right, in Shawnee, Oklahoma, is rolling.
What's the ages on that?
I feel like it might be 19 and under, but maybe you have to be in high school unless something has changed. So there are occasional 19-year-old high school seniors, but I think if you've graduated high school, you can't go. At least that's historically how it's been. But contestants from 35 states and provinces are there at the heart of Oklahoma Expo Center. There are 11 performances, and champions will be crowned Friday.
I wonder if there's college scout rodeo coaches there. College
typically,
scouts.
The youth opportunities. You know how we always talk about like the gaining of momentum and opportunities in rodeo? The youth rodeo market is certainly no exception. And I think about, there are a couple different ways I look at that. Like, for one, if you're a young rodeo kid, look at all the opportunities. I mean, junior high, when my son Lane was in junior high, his eighth grade year was the first year they had the junior high finals. Well, now that is a big deal. When Taylor was in eighth grade, he was the national all-around champ for that in Gallup, New Mexico. What a blast, absolute blast. Okay, so we have the junior high finals. The high school finals, of course, has been a big deal for our lifetimes, or however long, you know, a really long time. And now you've added, okay, the IFYR is 33 years old. Now, in recent years, you have the World Championship Junior Rodeo at the Lazy E. Well, now they've announced the other day that the IFYR and the WCJR are sort of joining forces to have a couple of big-time youth rodeos in Oklahoma starting next summer, which both are happening this summer also. But, you know, there's some shared ownership there, right? Those events are now owned by, you know, one person, unless I know them.
How about a hats off? Because there's a significant amount of difference in having a kid that wants to rodeo or wants to play even baseball. Now, they can spend a lot of money on baseball, right? There's a lot of money that can be spent if your kid wants to play Little League baseball and select leagues, and gloves and bats are $500. But hold on. It's nothing like a $100,000 trailer, you know, horses. And I am so proud and so amazed at the parents that take every, and I know some of them, and so do you, that take everything they make, everything in their whole piggy bank goes to letting those kids develop in rodeo. And it's expensive, and hats off to them.
Okay, yes. And you're talking to mean mom, whose kids started out their rodeo careers in the back of a used stock trailer that we bought out of Nebraska. And we finally upgraded to a motorhome after the Salinas Junior Rodeo when Taylor and I fine because we don't eat mayonnaise, but Lane made the error of eating some sat out too long potato salad at the concession stand. So in the middle of the night, he puked all over Taylor and I in the nose of that gooseneck. And sometime after that is when we got the motorhome. It is a blast, but I'll say this, this is my on the pros and cons. And of course my kids were raised with, we will never mortgage our lives or our house or anything else for rodeo. That's not, we will not be, you know, I have too many Hall of Fame friends who don't have much financially to show for it. That's just not happening. But anyway, think about the parents. My kids never went to the IFYR because I couldn't take that much time off of work.
Yeah.
And just stay gone. You know what I mean? And a lot of my stuff, thankfully, has been remote. But think about the parents now when you have and throw in Little Rich's finals. And, you know, that didn't exist in California, at least when my kids were coming up. But like, you know, junior high finals, high school finals, WCGR, National Little Rich's finals. What did I just miss? IFYR. Think about the time off you would need to take in order to haul your kids around. And the expense of the fuel alone and being away, I mean, it's, I don't even know how people, most people do it.
I don't either.
So.
But I'm glad they do. I'm glad they do.
It's a huge sacrifice, but man, anyway. Okay. So again, we're all over the map. Let's go to Canada. The Calgary Stampede is in full swing. I don't know if you've watched any of it. My nightly routine is I work into the evening. Then after I get back from the barn, I have it recorded each afternoon. And before I go to bed, I watch every ride, every run, because I love it so much. But imagine on night one, my delight to see the faces and hear the voices of Jeff Metters and Butch Knowles. Wasn't that great?
Yeah, I heard that was Pittman. Yeah.
I didn't know or whatever, but it was like, oh, it's like old friends, you know? And of course, Janie Johnson and Luke Branquino. And hey, Felipe Massetti, he does a great job with the calf roping and the breakaway roping. Really good. I mean, he's got a lot of insight. He knows the horses, he knows the guys, he knows the event. It's cool. They do it. They do a, you know how like I remember really bragging on what a joy it was to watch like the Houston telecast. It is a joy to watch a Calgary telecast, I think. And by the way, specialty act wise or whatever, the rookie bareback riding, rookie bronc riding, and the wild pony races are awesome.
I love the pony races.
So good. And those little badass ponies. And a lot of times the girls beat the boys. There's some sticky girls doing that.
There is. And those little ponies turn on a dime. And those poor kids, they, as Donnie Gay would say, they yard dart it. It's good watching if you haven't seen it. But the production, the video production team, the broadcast team up there for the Stampede is a dedicated team. And they work on that all year long. Like, that's their baby. And they do a very, very, very good job.
And it shows. It shows. And I will note that I don't know why it is, but I think they call it the Rocky Mountain Cup with the team roping in it is not till like the third week in August up there. Not sure exactly why that is, but that is... You know, team roping is held separately like that. Okay, a couple things I thought were interesting. So the basics, there are three pools, three rounds each. Each year, typically the top four based on money won from the three rounds advance to Sunday's semifinals. This year, because of the addition of the breakaway roping, only three in each event from each pool advance. That's significant. That's a 25% decrease in your chances of advancing.
Yeah, they did it. You know, I'm sure it was done because of length and breadth of the show, right? Because they had to add contestants. I mean, there's little things you don't understand. We added two timed event contestants to the Utah Days of 47 Rodeo in each performance. That doesn't sound like much, right, Kendra? But at the end of the day, it's about 20 minutes. Right to the show. And that's if you click it off, you know, and so again, that, and I'm not ever a one that says the rodeo has to be an hour and 15 minutes. I don't think a rodeo should be 3 hours long. I mean, I think there's too long, but I think as long as it's entertaining. So I see why they do it. And if you recall, we had a whole conversation about the team roping at Calgary, right? Going off to another deal. And just to remind everybody, we kind of swapped information. And again, I'm going to say this again, but, you know, I don't know why some things get approved and some things don't, but I am glad that the Calgary Stampede has prize money and has a team roping, okay, at the end of the day for those guys, regardless if it's the same day. I mean, I get it. It'd be nice if it were in the rodeo, but they didn't really probably have to do that team roping for the team ropers whenever they did it. And I'm glad they did. You know,
are you sure that they didn't have to do it in order to be PRC sanctioned? I would think they would.
Well, they got away with other stuff and got sanctioned. I'm just saying they didn't play hardball on that. Right.
Obviously, yeah. I mean, you know. Yes. Okay. Yeah. And so, okay, here's another little fun fact. In the PRCA events, 80% counts. And according to the commentators, in the WPRA events, 100% of it counts. So that's kind of interesting. You know, sometimes there are even sometimes rodeos, as we've talked about on this show before, that maybe aren't even sanctioned by the WPRA or whatever. But in this case,
why 80%, Kendra? Why not 100%?
Did you think of
a reason why? I'm asking from a contestant's standpoint, what would be the reason somebody argued for 80 instead of 100, right? Somebody in there, is it because it's invitational and everybody doesn't have a shot at it? I'm asking.
I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, or is it because because the contestant, did the contestants decide here, let me use an example. Let me use a barrel racer as an example. And it's close enough, 80 or 100. It doesn't really matter for this example. Okay. I do not know Anita Ellis yet, but she swept pool A in the barrel race. Okay, she's already won $21,000. Now, cool as this, she even rode two different horses. I think the one's name is Axe, and then the one she set 1679 on the third day of her pool. She decides to give Axe a break. She gets on her gray, a 5-year-old gray named Rico. She sets the Calgary record. Okay. She swept her pool, but okay, she's won 21 grand. If she wins it, she's going to win over $70,000 at one rodeo that counts. That's interesting. I'll tell you what else is interesting that's come into play here. The fact that the bull riders have the fact that they count round money toward world standings. Watch this play out at Calgary, because it's going to be another example. J.R. Stratford has won $29,500 when technically $21,000 would be a clean sweep in every other event. He's won nearly 30 grand in his set alone, and it all counts because the bull riders decided that. Hey, you know, they made the decision. So, you know, what's the rest of us going to do but say, okay, they decided by a vote. So, but that's significant. I mean, if he wins it, he can win over 80 grand at one rodeo. That counts.
I get it. I've always heard that overloading stuff with the big rodeos, we've had this conversation before. I still maintain that I like to see it all count, and the boat is the tide is rising. I mean, just like in Utah in a couple weeks, you know, over $2 million, there's money out there, and you still do kind of have to keep winning. I think there's probably an argument that a big landfall rush gets you in the NFR, maybe, but it could. But it doesn't. I just don't believe that Calgary alone will take somebody that doesn't deserve it and give them a buckle. Does that make sense?
I don't. You know, that remains to be seen. But I would take a guess. You know, it used to pay $100,000. And 50 of it counted, correct?
Yep.
But it pays people 100. So my guess, it's only a guess. My guess on that, and you may know, is that Calgary said, well, hell, if it doesn't count, why should we do it? That's my guess.
That's exact. Well, it was all a part of this whole new deal that, remember, I think was 3 years long. It's a 3-year deal, I think, for the sanctioning agreement. And it's a great rodeo, and it remains to be seen. You know, everybody can pick this apart a little bit. I'm sure at the end of the year, you can go back and say, had X, Y, and Z not won a round at Calgary, they wouldn't have this or that or whatever, right? Or in the bull riding. But still though, it's still money that pays mortgages, right? That pays entry fees. And I like seeing it count. Now,
Okay, well, I guess, though, you said something about, you were questioning, is only part of it count because it's invitational. But would this not be one of those deals like other limited rodeos where everyone had an equal chance to qualify, basically?
Unfortunately, I did not do my homework, and I don't know. But that has not been the traditional way that the stampede
is truly invitational. Maybe it is truly invitational. I know that there have been years where it was, I don't know. I had a lot of cowboys.
Here's the thing. That can be a semantics, right? Because there was a time when the Days of 47 rodeo, and I argued with people, they said you're an invitational. Well, we extended invites based on qualification measures. To me, that's different. I mean, yes, in real terms, you're inviting Kendra to come play, but it's because Kendra is the top of the leaderboard, right? That there's standards behind the invitations, and it's not willy-nilly. I mean, I can remember at the American that time when they had, you know, when they had the guy, they had the older guys come in, and it was cool in one discipline, and another discipline, it made me feel sad, right? I mean, you know, that was truly invitational. right?
Yeah, the truly invitational counting, that makes me queasy typically.
Yeah,
because
I can get that.
And especially, you know, when, you know, sometimes there are like exemptions and different things, and it's like, man, you know, the biggest thing for me on any qualifications is that they exist for like at least a whole full season ahead of time, so everybody has the same chance to jump through the hoop if it's going to be a qualification situation, right?
Yeah, I agree. And what I do like about, so in some of those formats, one of the things I love is when an outsider, right, someone, and we all love this, someone who maybe hasn't been able to go down the road, a chance to get in there and play with the big boys and win. That's always great. And I love that, right? I love that. The flip side of that is, well, what about all of the guys that have been beating the road to win, right? They deserve their top 15. And, you know, so again, you can always kind of argue for and against almost anything in this game a little bit.
Yeah. Well, there's often multiple sides to a story. I do think it's worthy of note. Bradley Miller has been our world standings leader in the bareback riding for a while here. And I saw him with a heavy limp, and they say he has a torn groin and has to go home. So that's, you know, that's a pretty big one. This particular time of year is a rough time to have to sit down. And then there was something else in the bareback riding that is like, talk about a tough break, where they said something about a canceled flight out of Salt Lake City, keeping Tim O'Connell from getting there.
Calgary, yeah.
And so Cade Saunier got the call. And now what I don't get about that part is they said Cade got the call like the day before. Can you get up here? Well, if he got the call the day before, how come Tim couldn't get on a different plane? I didn't understand that.
Well, that makes sense. The other thing that's interesting to me.
No, but does it make sense?
No, I said it doesn't.
Oh, okay.
No, instead, that alone is one thing, but there's a whole nother thing. A lot of people don't realize the typical amount of paperwork that the Stampede does, right, for every contestant to come up there and win their money and come and go back and forth without a whole lot of issues. How do you make that happen that fast, right? And I'm not saying there's any, I don't know that there's anything funky going on, but there's a lot. But it, you know, I guess you don't suspect that your flight's going to get canceled, but I think I would have probably known if it was the last flight. And I'm not knocking Tim O here, but I'm saying, you know, at a show like that, you want to make sure you're going to get there, I think.
Really rough break for Tim O'Connell. Big, possible big break for Cade Saunier. He split last hole with Rucker Steiner yesterday in the first round of Pool B. I also just, for the heck of it, just looked at the exchange rate just out of curiosity. One Canadian dollar equals 0.73 United States dollar.
Well, you know what? I've got it figured out. That's how much should count to the NFR. And they almost got it right. They were 0.7 off nailing it. Right? That's where it came from. That's where the 80% came from. It's the currency exchange. Got it. You nailed it. Very good.
That's significant exchange rate.
It is, but in Calgary, it is what it is. They're still paying it. They're just taking it to a different country where it's worth less.
I know. I'm just saying for, you know, I have heard over the years that sometimes American contestants open bank accounts up there so they don't have to take it here.
Well, yeah. I've also heard of them opening it and waiting, right?
Yes.
And exchanging it. Because, you know, 10% of $50,000 is probably worth opening the bank account for. But I don't even know if the dollar fluctuates that much. I'm not that much of an economist to know. But it is a substantial take home. But I think it's kind of ironic that it's very similar to how much counts to the buckle.
Interesting. anyway, I guess I just, it's like, you know, people talk about Cowboy Christmas, which is a big deal. I did miss seeing you historically. We always kept tabs. I don't know if they're saving it for print or what, but I have not seen tabs on who in each event won the most.
No, I saw that Riley Webb collectively won the most. That's the only thing I saw.
Okay, but the math on that, to my knowledge, was done by calfroping.com, which is part of the Equine Network. And so, calculator? Well, what I'm saying is that used to be part of our grind. The two different times I worked for the PRCA, that we would track every nickel. And I did ask the PRC media department, I'm like, how many rodeos are you considering to be, because it always gets down to splitting hairs, to be Cowboy Christmas. And this year, their magic number was 40. So you're tracking 40 rodeos. And I mean, we always had the spreadsheets or, you know, back the old, what do they call them? Chief tab, the paper, or notepad, whatever.
Yeah.
Big chief tablet.
Number two pencil.
You know, number two pencil. I mean, all that kind of stuff. But we always figured out the overall big winner and then event by event. And it was a grind to do that. So surely, I'm sure they probably did that for every event. But
surely they did.
Yes. Let me see if general winningest team Cowboy Chris.
While you're looking that up, I went up to Oakley, right down the road from me. What a great rodeo. And I will say that in that particular performance, I saw as good a saddle bronc ride as I've seen in a long time. And then I understood that the next performance was the same way in the bareback riding. Great rodeo, Zeke. Now, I love Zeke. Probably the biggest thing is because he's a contract personnel. That's how he started, right? So I'm a little closer to that.
A little trick rider.
Yeah, a little trick rider. And, you know, I carried out sheep for a monkey. And so, yeah, I've got, I'll root him out. Boy, he put on, there were so many good bronc rides. And the Pete Carr livestock there, with the combination of a few extra men, was outstanding. The crowd there, they have, you know, I think they see 5,000 and it is jam packed. And it's always, you know, 75 degrees. Great, great 4th of July rodeo. And they put a great product out, which is good for our sport. But I mean, stiff competition at Oakley. That's what I wanted to throw in. It was pretty stiff competition in Oakley all the way down the line.
Super cool. Okay. I wanted to say this because I'm just Googling two things at the same time. Okay. So the winningest team roping team, this is kind of interesting. Clint Summers and Jade Corkill were the winningest team. Jade Corkill had kind of ridden off into the sunset. And now here he is, and they won right at 30 grand a man, including the win at Cody. I think that they said, okay, now Aaron Johnson was the winningest breakaway roper. By the way, Team Roping Journal, again, Equine Network is the one that came up with Summers and Corkill. Again, Equine Network, Breakaway Roping Journal tells us that Aaron Johnson was 16-628, was the winningest breakaway roper. And I feel like Janie Johnson said, I'm not 100%, that Megan McLeod Sprague and Jag were the winningest barrel racer over Cowboy Christmas. But
well, my research showed that Summers and Corco, they won, in what I could find, 9 out of 10 rodeos.
They killed it.
Right, with just under 30,000 a piece, and 8,100 of that was at Cody. So yep. Those guys, they're on fire.
Okay, the barrel racers, barrelracing.com. Megan McLeod Sprague, 29,436 was the winningest. And then Paige Jones, Jennifer Newdorf and Summer Cosell. See, and it gets interesting because.
But Hayden Kendall's been winning all kinds. Oh, you were doing Breakaway, weren't you? You were doing Breakaway.
No, that's barrel racing. And okay. The thing about it is, Haley Kinzel's been on fire. She won about 14,000 over Cowboy Christmas. But again, it depends on the parameters of your right. definition of Cowboy Christmas. And for example, that I'm sure doesn't apply to Haley, but like this year, I think Pecos didn't fall over the 4th of July, right? It was done before the 4th of July. So does that count? Yeah. You know, the way we always did it when I was at the office in Colorado Springs was any rodeo that had July 4th anywhere in its dates. That's how we did it, you know? And yeah. So, but some of these have changed slightly and, in order to, you know, make better runs. We've seen, we talked about it last episode, I think, about some of them changing, you know, Nampa, for example, changing dates to make it a better run for the contestants. But anyway, so here this week, okay, Cheyenne Slack has already started in the timed events. And the way they do it is they run them around and then the top 60 advance the perps. And then I don't remember, I will be there this weekend, but there's anybody who's not in the top 60, that's how it goes, runs another one. And then they take a small number from that. I don't remember if it's 5 or something, but they take a smaller number back to the purse from that. So you have
like a second
chance. Your odds are a lot lower, but you have a second chance. And you know how it goes when especially when they run in the fresh ones that walk to the line, like it's kind of a crapshoot a little bit. But anyway, this is a heck of a week of rodeos when we have. You know, the NFR Open in Colorado Springs, along with the Hall of Fame inductions this weekend. And, you know, Sheridan and Casper. You know, there are plenty of people that say this week is even more lucrative than last week. So,
It's strong all the way through. And now it's a contest of keeping your mind right and your body healthy and your animals healthy all the way across. And, you know, a lot of people don't contemplate this, but these livestock contractors are doing the same thing with all of their animals. Same thing that the timed event people are doing with their rope and horses and stuff. And that is, you know, figuring out what they're going to do to keep them healthy and performing and not getting both mentally and physically wore out the bucking stock. And I think it's always very, very interesting. You know, they'll keep a horse out of the draw or something, and those guys will go, well, I'll come. Well, because he needs a break. And, you know, people want to talk about rodeo, but hold on. There's a lot of thought and care, as we both know, in both sides of the arena for these livestock, and especially this is a ragged time. I mean, for everything, it's maybe more ragged for the tires on the pickup and the trailer, but, you know, it's steering wheels and tires. And yeah. I mean, it's going.
And I just saw another horse trailer burn to the ground. You know, luckily they got the horses out, but it's like axles do not appreciate unlimited mileage. And, you know, the weight of those humongous living quarters trailers is tremendous, especially when loaded down with 4 horses or more. And
horses. When a barrel horse trailer pulls in to the rodeos that I'm at, they unload the amount of horses. And now they got, half of them have got this, I don't know what they call it, but it's like their service pony. Have you seen that? So you got your barrel horse, and that's like a service dog pony.
Emotional support animal.
Emotional support pony for your barrel horse.
It's like the racehorse and the goat. There was this little, adorable little silver one. I'm trying to remember, Sydney Forrest is the barrel racer. And what she called this little, cutest little pony that just trots around with no bridle, no nothing on, just follows his horse. And I can't remember if her barrel horse's name's Sterling or the pony, but I mean, the funniest, cutest, I was just, it's so cute. Now, this is random, but I feel like I just saw, and I don't know, is this factual that Garrett Yurigan and Anthony Lucia, did they just make history announcing history by being two horseback announcers in the arena at the same time? Is that
correct? Yeah, I heard they made history. You probably needed some earplugs. I mean, really? Those guys, I bet they were battling out, but I did see them both on horseback. I think it was a unique approach.
Where was that?
In Texas. What Texas rodeo was it? It's on the tip of my tongue. It was in Texas.
It wasn't Pecos?
It might have been. Yeah, it might have been, because Anthony drove up from there to Oakley. I think it might have been. But yeah, I did see them both, which I think's unique. I think it's unique. I wonder how it turned out.
Well, I mean, actually,
there's only so much oxygen in an arena.
You know what we have to check on? I just had a flashback. If I'm not mistaken, Bob Tolman and Bob Feist used to both be in the arena at Reno. Unless I'm remembering that wrong.
Ooh, let's try to find that out, because then we could squash fake news by saying that they...
No, I'm not saying anything about fake news. Those guys are legit. They're so good at what they do. Maybe I'm remembering that wrong, or maybe they traded off or something. But those two guys, the two Bobs, were at Reno forever. But maybe Tallman was up there. I swear there was a time forever ago that, but you know what? Anthony is so tight with Bob Tallman, he would know. So I'm not saying anything is off at all. I just, maybe I'm remembering that wrong. But anyway, you're about to get it at the days of 47.
Yeah. Yeah. We start loading in. It's all happening. Again, the amount of work, and we've said this before, but there's a lot that goes into an event, but things are looking great. And we're excited. And, you know, we had a huge, huge slack the last 3 years. And because we didn't have, we don't really have the facilities to do big slack. Because, if we just had a pasture, I said, if I literally had 5 acres or 3 acres to where I could park trailers and put horses on dirt. But we don't. We have 50-something stalls and pavement. So the format for Salt Lake this year is the top 40 come. And the barrel racing has some qualifications through the WPRA, but 40 come in the timed events. They get their first one at 10 in the morning, and then they rope their second that night at the perf, and it's a progressive. The top two from the aggregate move on to the short go. In the rough stock, it's just the top 32. One head progressive, top two move up. And so our last perf will be eights in everything. We added another 15,000 per discipline to the prize money, because we wanted to have more prize, make sure we had significantly more than everybody. And we give away gold, silver, and bronze medals, which, you know, those, they're cool. They're made by OC Tanner. I'm pretty proud of it, because they're the real deal. Like, OC Tanner made the medals in the 2002 Olympics, and I understand they're going to make them in the 2034 Olympics, and they make ours. And I think it's a pretty cool gift. It's not a guitar, but it is a gold, silver, and bronze medal. So
I think unique prizes are so appreciated. You know, a lot of rodeos don't give a prize. Cowboys love, you know, I mean, ultimately the money's the most important, but it's always appreciated when, and especially with something is unique like that. You know, some places will give a rifle or, you know, something special like that, I think, is really cool.
Well, sometimes it's the little things. Like, what we're trying to do right now is get a dry cleaners that does starch, right, to be on site. So when they show up at slack, they could turn their clothes in and they'd be back by 6 o'clock before the perf, because those of us that have been on the road know just getting your stuff cleaned can be a problem. Right? Even finding a washing machine, but especially starch. Now, but I'm afraid right now that they've been really expensive. You know, when you got to pay the same as buying a pair of pants to get them starched, it might not be a good idea.
Do you know that where I live, it is $10 to search a pair of jeans?
That's what it is.
Outrageous. Okay. That's one of the coolest hospitality features to me at Cheyenne for people on the road, that you can say, here's my laundry, here's my starch stuff. And they, you know, they'll do this. You can take off, go to a different rodeo and come back and you've got them starched and pressed. I want to return because I did just hear, I texted Bob and Bob, Tallman and Feist, like, am I on crack or did you two ever both on horseback at Reno announce? And guess what? I'm not on crack, but neither are Anthony and Garrett, because they're telling me that Bob Feist saddled up the same performance as Tallman, went to the hospital because he got freight trained.
Oh.
So it happened. I didn't dream it, but it only happened once, and it was only in case of emergency. So rock on, Jurgen and Lucia. That's absolutely great. I was not trying to discredit anybody, but I just have this memory. Like, I know I saw those guys out there, and I did, but it was just once. And it was, that's why Bob Tallman can't wear boots anymore. And he's bent over because he got shipwrecked.
Trained. Yeah. Ah. Well, that's not the only place Tallman got shipwrecked one way or another. So Tallman's good at shipwrecking. So it's not all.
We love him.
All right. Well, what I tell you, a couple things that I thought was cool in browsing around. Tough Cooper winning Cody by a half a second. That's a pretty commanding win. So that was pretty cool. And this Wacy Shala guy, I think, you know, I like I see that name and I read, like I stop scrolling and see what's going on with him because it's pretty exciting. I think I hope he's at our rodeo and I can't wait to watch him.
Well, I mean, he's 19 years old. And the one thing I haven't seen much of is his bareback riding yet. So, like, is he somebody who will have a shot at making it to events for the NFR? I don't know yet. But, it's super cool. And we'll wait till after Calgary plays out. But there are some other noticeably absent people. And so we're just going to wait.
It'll shuffle around and that end of July we'll change the boards a little bit too. And so, but it's good times. You're hitting the road. I'm here in Utah. We're rolling around. We'll be, it's exciting times. And I just pray that everybody stays safe and stays healthy on the road. I hope you have a safe trip. You got a lot of big stuff coming and we're going to do a big rodeo here in Utah and it's all fun. And I don't know if you have anything else on your docket, but I was just going to say, I just hope everybody look out the window, even though you're in the car for 18 hours, because, you know, seize the day is what I like to say. Don't trust that you've got the future. Right. And kind of everything we've talked about goes back to that. Seize the moment.
Sure.
Seize the day.
And you mentioned Tough Cooper winning Cody. They're also this week. Okay, Saturday the 12th is, oh my God. Tallman just texted me. I'm in Mexico.
It's a bit shipwrecked.
Okay. At Tijuana at the wellness clinic. It's a vacation, he says. Okay. At any rate, this week also on Thursday in Oklahoma City at the National Cowboy and Western Heritage Museum is the PBR's Heroes and Legends. It's basically like their Hall of Fame stuff. And Roy Cooper, bless him. I miss him. We all miss him. He is being recognized with the Timery Top Hand Award. And we have spoken about that before and mentioned it. But I know how excited he was because he called and told himself.
He was so excited.
And he had special buckles made for his family and he did all these things. And I know he'll be there in spirit. But another interesting little tidbit before we go is that Pam Minnick is doubling down with it big time this week. She will be the first woman on Thursday at the Heroes and Legends to receive the Jim Shoulders Award at the PBR Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that's
fantastic. And then 2 days later, we'll turn right on around and be inducted on, you know, as one of, as the this year's WPRA into the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame. And that's so in this Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I guess that's 3 days. In 3 days, she's going into two halls of fame. And that's good for her. Okay, you can hear when you watch the telecast at Calgary, you can hear kind of in the distance in the background, Wayne Brooks and Kate Harrison announcing. That's a big deal that Kate Harris is one of the announcers in recent times there. But without Pam Minnick, ain't no Leah Garcia, ain't no Amy Wilson, excuse my grammar, that's silly, Janie Johnson. I mean, Pam Minnick blazed the trail. Katie Lucas, all of them. She blazed the trail for all of them. Truly, like, it's like Betty Gale wasn't the original breakaway rupper, but, you know, Awanda Bush and these people way, way back, they blazed it. And Pam really did. You know, she had her PRC announcer's card and did network stuff with Mahan and, you know, I mean.
And did it in a time when it was harder to convince people that you should be able to do it, right?
Well, over times, you know. To me, like, the cool about Pam is that she's no BS, and she, of course, she's beautiful. 1973 Miss Rodeo Nevada, Miss Rodeo America. She's beautiful, but she will bust ass alongside or ahead of any man any day of the week. She works. And so to me, it's like she didn't get it tossed her way because she was pretty. She's smart and she works hard. So good for her. Congratulations.
Well, Billy Minnick, the whole Minnick family, Pam, been close to the Lucias. Good people that have done, again, if we started to add up the portions of the foundation of the current Western lifestyle, all these people like Pam, like Tom, and I'm just talking about the people I'm thinking of, like the Harry Bolds, right? Like all these people that laid the groundwork for everything we brag about today. Let us remember them and what they were willing to do for us. And we have the responsibility, Kendra, to do the same thing for all those kids you talked about that are going to Oklahoma.
Absolutely right. It's true. And it's like, and our work honors their work before us, you know, but also us respecting them enough to not forget and to not act like, you know, we're the first person to ever do this. No, we're not. Those people before us did it and made it possible to where we're doing what we're doing today that we love so much. And we're spending our entire lifetime doing it just like they did. But they did it first.
Yep, they did. Yep. They did. Well, we scrambled around. We've got it. I'm hoping, just being truthful with everybody here, no spin, that I recorded this correctly without Greg. And if so, you're listening to this on a podcast. But thank you. Thank you, Kendra. You be safe. You be safe on the road. We'll connect. Thank you for being a part of listening to us talk today on episode 66 of No Spin Rodeo. Until we see you again, win, be safe. Don't burn up bearings. Keep it between the ditches. Take a shower once every 2 or 3 days. All those fun things. Until we see you again, thanks for joining us.